Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Spotlight Coaching, where we shine a light on what you want most when it comes to dating, mating, and relating. I'm your coach, Jonathan Asley, and I'm so excited to be doing another edition of our guest expert call series. And today's guest expert is a dear friend of mine. And I don't even know how to, I don't have her bio in front of me, so I'm just going to go off the top of my head. First off, her name is Bobbi Palmer, and she's an amazing dating and relationship coach, helping, specializing in helping women over 40 attract love in their life and date like a grown-up. In fact, that's her website, datelikeagrownup.com. She's been on the Today Show as of recently, which is, and she was on there twice, which is so exciting. She's been a featured guest on eHarmony and various different publications. She's a unique coach because she herself found love later in life, in her 40s, and she's been married, happily married ever since, and I just love her dearly. As I was sharing a moment ago, Bobby's gift to the world, is at least the way I perceive it, is her way to share information in these amazing sound bites, and which is easily digestible. So I hope she has some, you know, some nuggets for us on the show today. So I want to welcome Bobbi Palmer.
Dun, dun. Hi, Jonathan. I felt like there should be a band the way you did that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I love
it. I just love hanging.
We're sort of, well, we were talking earlier about, you know, we're sort of in a mutual respect and love fest, so.
Yeah.
It's terrific. It's fantastic.
Well, you know, we both have the same passion, and you know, I want to share something with you, because I was recently, and I'm going off topic, everyone, but there was a relationship coach commenting on one of my Facebook posts, and she was coming at it from kind of the negative, and what I mean is the scarcity space. And when I went and researched her website, I realized that she was in a relationship that was very an abusive relationship, and she had really bad struggles in her life. And the way she coaches is coming from a place of warning, 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 look out, look out, look out. And what I love about you, and I certainly know this is the way I coach, you and I come from a place of love. We approach this by coming at it not from a place of scarcity, not from a place of fear. In fact, quite the opposite. We, you know, you and I both encourage people to come from a place of abundance, come from a place of love. And why that's so important, and I want you to touch upon this in a second, is that it's energetically you're going to be more of an attractor as opposed to the ones that are coming from fear. I mean, I'd love you to comment on that.
Well, I'm a little surprised. To be honest, I'm a little surprised about somebody coaching sort of focusing on the be careful, protect yourself perspective, although that is part of what we help women do, but it's such a small part. And, yeah, I come from a place of love and abundance, but also a place of we have control over our destiny. We can be as successful in this part of our life as we are in other parts of our life. There's some things that, you know, maybe they don't know yet, or some things they have to just make some shifts. It's not that hard. It's not that scary.
No.
So, that's not where we start, for sure.
I totally agree. So, since I want to start, I want to help our group get a sense of who you are. And so could you just spend a brief moment of how did you become a dating relationship coach for women over 40?
Yes. I was single until I was 47, so at 47 I became a first-time bride, and for 20-some-odd years prior to that, my career was in, I was a professional trainer, and so my expertise is in helping adults learn how to improve their life. So when I got married, it was really such a profound, positive change on my life. And so many people asked me how I did it. And every woman I talked to who was single, over 40, not married, either divorced or never married, or widowed, when they heard my story, they said, "You give me hope." And that moved me to believe that this was the next thing I had to teach. So I've been doing this about, been married 8 years, been doing this about 7 years, and it's a lot more fun than teaching guys in the Navy how satellites communicate with Earth.
Is that what you really did?
Well, that was the last thing I did. But of course, I did a lot more than that, but that was the last project I did before I started teaching women how to find love after 40. Yeah.
You know, I think if you look at the background of the various different relationship coaches, they all come from a different space. You know, I was an insurance broker for 20 years. Evan Marquez was a screenwriter. You know, Marty Batista was a teacher. You know, our circle of friends. And so, and if you asked us how we, you know, I'm going to say fell into this profession, is we each have a unique story. But what I like what you coach, and one of the things I want you to talk about for just a minute, because your website is Date Like a Grown-Up. So you have a lot of, there's a lot of meaning behind that. And I'd love it if you just, for a moment, because our call today is Date Like a Grown-Up, Get Out of First Date, you know, Hell. So I'd love for you to share with the group, what does it mean to date like a grown-up?
Well, dating like a grown-up has three basic principles. Number one is approaching dating and love with a balance of head and heart.
Okay.
Number two is kindness to both to yourself and to men. And number three is taking responsibility for your experiences and your outcomes. So it's really about, again, just like I said, these are things we do in the rest of our life. We balance head and heart. We're nice to people. We're, you know, we approach our friendships with kindness, our families, no matter how crazy they are, with kindness. And we take responsibility. But in our love life, a lot of times we just kind of stick with our 18-year-old stuff. We get stuck in our early years of when we started dating and started this, you know, romance thing. And I'm just trying to bring women and men into their grown-up self and remind them they could apply that person to this part of their life.
Well, do you think, you know, you just touched upon something, because I totally appreciate your approach. And, you know, personal responsibility is, without a doubt, is number one in my book, is start from that place, but also kindness and what you just shared. But I want to touch upon something, because for many of your clients, and for many of my clients, and I suspect for yours, they're back out there dating again because they've come off of a divorce, possibly. And mm-hmm. I think their perspective is, because you mentioned 18-year-old self, and I often wonder if people are going back in time to when they're in their 20s, here they're on their 40s going, you know, they're perceiving their dating the way they did, you know, 5, 10, 20, even 25 years prior. Do you see the same thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, some of it is, it's a woman who hasn't dated for a zillion years and just doesn't know anything else. But some of it's also like I was. I was 47, never married, so I dated for like 30 years. I just did it the same darn way for 30 years. So while I matured in my career and with my relationships with other people, that boy thing, you know, it didn't become a man thing. It stayed in that state of confusion and sort of stuck in not learning. And so that's kind of the second way that this happened. I mean, I was like an 18-year-old when I was 40.
Did you think you know, it's kind of you followed doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results?
Oh, yeah, like insanity. and you know, blaming the men. You know, what's wrong with the men? Men are all assholes. They're not picking me because I have fat thighs. You know, all these excuses for myself. For many years it was like, I don't need a man. So I was really focused on my career. Men don't like smart women. You know, all these quote-unquote truths that I was hung, just really glommed on. And not taking responsibility and saying, and that was like one of my first epiphanies that I talk about in my ebook is like, this is all about me. It can't be 30 years of their faults.
Can I
so
ask
it
you,
has this to be about me.
Can I ask you kind of an off-the-beaten half question.
You always do.
And I know
I
you don't expect this. Okay.
Go ahead.
So it just hit me because as a guy, you know, and most of my, you know, tribe knows that I'm back out there again, but I'm dating under a different capacity now. But certainly when I was in my 40s after my divorce, you know, one of my major motivators was sex. You know, for men, we're kind of driven, at least I know in my 40s, I was so driven by going out there and dating over and over again because my motivation was sex. But I've talked to women who have gone years without it. And when you just shared earlier that even in your own experience, I suspect the same thing. Do you have any, I know, I don't even know if I have the right question here, but it's just the difference between the way men approach it and the way women approach it. Do you think women approach it? I mean, men approach it kind of seeking sex, but I don't think women do the same, and one of the reasons why they might go a period of time where they're not dating.
I think a lot of it depends on time of life. So I'm going to throw a question back to you that's not on our list of things to ask each other.
Okay.
And you can answer or not. Are you still just looking for sex?
See, that's why, okay, so thank you. Because now it's interesting. And for everyone, I'm going to share, it'll take about a minute to share this, but literally after Sherry and I ended our relationship, you know, there was a period for about a month I just wasn't even thinking about dating or anything. And then when I thought, oh, let me go to my Rolodex of women I know that I've had sex with. And I know some of them are still single, maybe they're Facebook friends or this or that. And I literally started writing emails to several of them, you know, kind of coming from that place of that lower vibration, okay, sex vibration. And right before I hit the send button, I literally stopped myself because I realized now I'm coming from a different place. And so a lot of them... So for me, and especially right now, because there's a lot of different emotions coming up for me, I've reached a point in my life where I'm not driven. I have a high sex drive, but that's not what's motivating me anymore.
Yep.
So maybe I answered my own question.
You did. You answered your own question. Here's the great thing. You just made my point, and I'm so glad that the women that are listening to this aren't just hearing it from me, they're hearing it from an MAN.
Yeah.
That what I do is I help women who are looking for a special kind of man, and that's what I call a grown-up man. So you are now a grown-up man. And so what I tell women is this, this is exactly the thing about getting stuck in our 18-year-old. We still think the men that we're meeting now at 40 and 50 and 60 are sex-crazed, you know, superficial, only care about what size dress you wear. And for the most part, most men have grown up just like we have. And so I love that you and I both help educate women about, you know, the idea that the men that you're meeting or the man that you want to meet is going to want a deep connection and real intimacy just like you do. All men over 40, but most.
No, I know for me personally, Sherry was a huge catalyst for that, and it started with the fact that she was solid in her what I call her individual, and she was very much a grown up. And because of that, she had really good solid boundaries. So in a way, it was a little bit of our early, because we bumped heads a few times early in the relationship, and I think I was still kind of in that half-boy, half-man state. Certainly, I grew up in the relationship, I think it takes a man to experience that before he becomes a grown-up.
Yep. Yeah, all of us, right? We all have to have life experience, and that creates new truths. So... But the most men your age, most men the age that, you know, the women that we support are dating, have had life experience that's forced them to grow up like the rest of us. Maybe you guys are a little slower than us, but you eventually do it. Almost all.
Yeah, and I suspect you do the same thing I do, is that we, you know, part of the, you know, I don't think first dates, second dates, or third dates are really an interview process. Although, in a way, you are, you know, for lack of a better term, you're interviewing them as the job of your boyfriend. And so it's really about learning communication skills in such a way that you can find out things about who they are before you give your heart away, right?
Oh, always, yeah.
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 So,
actually,
all right. So I
that's a good segue. That's a good segue into getting out of first date hell.
Yes, because the topic of our call, how to get out of first date hell. So let's talk about that, because I know, and by the way, I've experienced first date hell now that I'm back out there, so so I want to learn what you have to share, too.
Yep, it's crazy. So,
okay,
yeah,
so let's talk about it.
Yes.
No, I want you to talk about it. How do we get out of first date hell?
So here's the, you know, here's the main reason. And by the way, I lived in first date hell for many, many, many years. I mean, I had first date after first date after first date after first date. And when I finally learned some of the things that I'm teaching here, I always got asked on a second date, and I really did meet Larry soon thereafter. I mean, this is like the big mistake that we make, and it kind of has to do with what we're talking about, is we approach dates as there's various ways. So we approach dating a first date either as we're fearful and hope he likes me, right? Like, I'm scared, I hope he likes me. Or we approach it as he better impress me. And neither of those approaches are going to get you out of first date hell. So it's not about, first and foremost, dating is all about you. It's all about you being able to find out if this is a man who could potentially make you happy and make good decisions about whether to give him your time or not. And it's all about you in the sense of you have responsibility to make it positive. You have responsibility to make it fun. You have responsibility to bring your best self and help him bring out his best self instead of waiting for him to, you know, like, perform for you, which men complain about all the time. It's like, oh, I feel like I didn't, you know, like jump enough hoops or say the right thing or take her to the right restaurant. And it's our responsibility to make it positive and to make meaningful connections.
Yeah, I always talk about one of the things that's important in the first date process is to be what I call interested and interesting. And
yeah, I love that.
And obviously I know you concur on this, is that one thing is be interested in not only what I say, because, you know, I'm going to be more enthusiastic if I feel that energy of interest, but also equally is to be interesting. Now, I think you'll agree that, you know, not all guys are that savvy on communication. So, you know, I happen to have a sales background, so I'm a communicator by nature. So some guys may not be as proficient at what I just said, but it's that dynamic of being interested and interesting.
Yes, and I love what you said, because this is why I say to women, because women are like, why do we have to do all the work? And the answer is because you can. Because your brain is wired differently than men, and your life experience is different than men. Women are wired to make communication and connection a huge part of our life, and men are wired to accomplish, to hunt, basically. And so, yeah, like my husband, his background's in sales, so he's very good at meeting new people and getting in conversations and so forth, but most men are not if their career didn't bring him there. So one thing that I tell women, there's three keys to getting out of first date hell.
Okay.
And one of them is make an outstanding first impression. And really, that has to do with some planning. It has to do with some planning, not just like, oh, yeah, I got to go see this guy at, you know, 5:30. I'll just, like, run by the coffee shop on my way home from work. But it really starts with your conversation with him, whether it's online, if you're emailing, or on the phone.
Yeah.
And I really believe that, and again, the whole goal here is to set yourself up for success on your date. So before you even meet him, make sure that he, you know, help him anticipate a good time. let him know. I mean, you're going to meet him, so I assume that you're excited about it or interested in him. So let him know and say things like, I'm really excited to meet you next week. I'm really looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
You know? Say it out loud, because we don't say it out loud to guys, right?
No. In fact, you know, I'm single again, and it's so it's frustrating being back out there from the sense of, you know, I'm enthusiastic, so I use that kind of language. And when I don't even when I don't get mirrored, you know, I have no enthusiasm. I should say my enthusiasm drops. And I think, but I want to touch upon, and maybe you might want to as well, I think one of the problems is that, especially with online dating, you know, most profiles written today are so poorly written or put together that you kind of go, oh, you know what, I think he's kind of cute, or maybe. So you already got this predisposition that it's a maybe. Because it's a maybe, you don't put that much effort into it. And, you know, I've got a killer profile. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going to own that. I put together a killer profile, and yet the women are kind of still approaching it as a maybe. Like, they're treating me like a maybe, and I'm like, sweetheart, and no offense, I'm going to be bold here and say this, and this is my ego talking. I'm a catch. If you're going to approach it as maybe, I'm losing interest in a nanosecond.
Yep. And so this is exactly the point, is that we expect you to perform for us and chase us.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I want women to understand about grown-up men. You see, Jonathan, you were just like, oh, we just have to do a workshop together. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
You are proving what I tell women all the time. Grown-up men do not chase. Grown-up men are, you know, the 25 and 30-year-olds, they're going to go after you and go after you. Even when you say no and don't show interest, they're going to keep coming at you. And that's ego.
Yeah.
Grown-up men like you don't need that. You've got a successful life. You've got a busy life. You've accomplished a lot. You know how to get what you want. And if a woman isn't showing interest, you're not going to stick around.
No.
And so showing interest, I tell women to show interest but don't take the lead. And that starts from the very, very beginning, to say things like, I'm really looking forward to meeting you, Jonathan. I mean, that feels so good to hear, right?
Oh, my God. Just that alone, or either looking forward to or excited. You know, I'd say those two are such key buzzwords that will actually, even if I put them in a maybe category. In fact, I'm going to touch upon this for a second, because I told you earlier how I think most profiles are mediocre. I've got some women that I look at them and I put them right in my maybe category. But if they're enthusiastic, they just went up a notch to me.
Sure, because why would you – it's like I said, you know how to get what you want. And so why would you spend a ton of time and a ton of energy on somebody who's, like, not interested? You just don't do that. And the men that do that, by the way, ladies, the chasers at, 40, 50, 60 years old, ego. It's all ego, and you need to run for your life.
Yeah.
It's manipulation. That's about narcissism, and it's about control. And if you're not interested and they keep coming at you, generally speaking, that is a red flag at this age. It's always a red flag. But when you're 25, it's one thing. But when you're 50, just know that grown-up men like Jonathan, who have a lot of confidence and are grounded and know what they want, they're not going to just keep banging their head against the wall. You wouldn't want a man who does that anyway. We don't like them that do that.
I would say if a woman doesn't show enthusiasm, either in the communication, and I kind of view it a couple steps. I look at the email dialogue first. And by the way, because most of my connection with women is going to be through the Internet. So whether it's Facebook or an online dating site, because the truth is, there's this fallacy, we're just going to meet organically. Like, it just happens organically in real life. Well, most people are working all day in real life, and then they get home, and maybe they stop by at a Starbucks for a second, but they've got their head down looking in their smartphone, or maybe they go grocery shopping. And by the way, I think a study shows that 1% of relationships actually happen at a grocery store. And of that, one of those people work there. So one of the two. Unless you are working at a grocery store or he's working at a grocery store, your chances are nil that it's going to happen in that environment. So online dating is now fast becoming the hugest place to meet new people, make new friends. And so if a woman isn't enthusiastic, she's literally, I don't care if she looks like, you know, well, all right, here's where, you know, I will say, you know, I mean, this is the guy talking to me. If she looks like Megan Fox, I might give her a second look, but truth be told,
yeah.
I'm going to say this, but I'm in a grown-up place. Even the best-looking woman who's not enthusiastic, I say no to right away.
Right. Right.
Because that's what I want in my love life is enthusiasm.
Yes.
And I don't want to have to, you know, we talk about something, you know, I call it scaling the walls of trust, and you call it the I dare you, I think you call it the I dare you
the wall. The wall of I dare you.
Where
right.
It's like I noticed, and I'm picking, look, I'm not picking on the ladies here because that's not it. I'm just saying it from a male perspective, is that if I've got to prove myself to you, I mean, in a Herculean way, I don't have that much time or energy to do that. I show up Herculean. That's the way I'm going to show up. If I have to prove it to you, that's a whole different story.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, do you want to touch upon, can you touch upon that? What I just said is huge. It's the difference between I show up Herculean versus having to prove it to you. There's a different energy there. Do you want to touch upon that?
The energy, the difference is, again, you're not, it's not a man's job to perform for you. It's a man's job to be who he is and be his best, as it is yours. So if it's going both ways, even if you're not a match, if you're both showing up positive, if you're both showing up optimistic, if you're both showing up open and without quick judgment, if you're both showing up open to be, you know, authentic, then again, even if it doesn't work out, you're going to have a good date and you're going to have a good experience and you're going to leave each other feeling good about yourself.
Yeah.
So what happens is women go on dates, not all, but a lot of us go on dates and we kind of sit back and wait for the guy to make us laugh or start conversation. And remember what Jonathan said, you guys, that men just don't have the same skills we do. So in terms of getting out of first date hell, the idea of, you know, using your communication skills to express to him some of these things that you're thinking that are positive and not wait for him. So the I'm really excited about meeting you on Thursday or I'm looking forward to it is just like at the end of a date, and I'm giving you like a little tip outside of this. Just like at the end of the date, if you want to see him again, don't make him guess. Say to him, and again, this is like the difference between showing interest versus taking the lead. Just say to him, you know, Jonathan, I had a really great time. It would be great to do it again. So you're not saying, let's go out next Thursday or call me so we can plan our next date. You're just saying, if you ask, I'm going to say yes.
That's all we need. Speaking as a guy, I'm saying that's all we need. Bobby, I've got another question for you, but I want to put this out to the group. If you want to ask Bobby or myself a question, just a reminder to hit *6 on your phone. Hit *6 to hit queue. We're going to be ending a little early tonight, so just as a reminder, hit *6. So, God, I had a question on the top of my head, and then I just lost it.
Welcome to my world.
I know you've got some tips about, getting to the next date.
Right.
So you want to share some of your – because, okay, so you've had a good date. You've showed some enthusiasm. You've even expressed that, right? What else can you do to get that next date?
Well, again, it's just about – so there's the three keys. So one is make an outstanding first impression. And, again, start with, like, the early communications. Part of that, too, is about managing your expectations. I want to bring that up because I think it's a really important part preparation for a good date. And that is, you know, dating is all about like a lot of no's until you get to one really juicy yes. So that's just a reality that almost that all of your dates except one are going to turn out really fabulous. So it's great to have an expectation that you're going to find love and you're going to find your partner and that you are going to have that in your life. But the guy you're meeting tonight is probably not going to be the one. So managing your expectations is really important because we tend to go with, and men do this so much better than we do, men do this going like, oh, I'm really looking forward to meeting Susie. She sounds like a blast. women, a lot of women go saying, I hope he's the one, I hope he's the one, I hope he's the one. And so setting yourself up for a good date means showing up, being able to be in the moment and appreciate the opportunity to meet some guy who could be, but probably won't be the one, but one will.
Can I touch upon that for a second?
Yeah.
Maybe I date like a girl. and what
that
I mean to say
me.
Is, well, and, or maybe I date like the way a girl should, but or a woman. After my divorce and even today, I date like enthusiastic. Like, I don't care what, I'm going to have a good time. Even I've even gone on terrible dates, but I at least emotionally, I want to just have a good time no matter what. And
right.
And I don't mean good time like, you know, go to bed with someone kind of thing. I'm just saying I want to have a positive experience. So even if it's not going to be the one, at least walk away going, I had a good hour, you know, as opposed to sitting at home, you know, watching, you know, another Showtime movie or something.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So
and
is that kind of what you're saying there? Is to you know, show up like you're just going to have a good time no matter what, even if he's not the one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. So that's there's more to this, but I know we have very limited time. But so that's key number one. Key number two, and I know, Jonathan, you and I could talk about this for like hours. Well, we could talk about anything probably for hours, but connect in a woman-to-man way. So remember, you're going on a date. You're not meeting a colleague. And the men that you're meeting, especially the grown-up men that you're meeting, they are looking – their life is great. And what they are missing, the one thing they're missing in their life, is intimate connection with another human being. Women find that intimate connection all around us. We connect that way with our girlfriends. We connect that way sometimes with our family members. Remember that men in their life, most of them, the one true intimate connection they have is with the woman that they love. So when you show up on a date, you need to show up leading with your feminine. You're not showing up telling him how great your life is all the time. You know, you're not showing up giving him your resume. I want you to really show up as a woman. And what that means is being friendly and open and smiling. It's not, you know, keeping eye contact, having conversation. I'm going to give you a really big tip. So the word because, write this down, ladies, the word because is a magic freaking word.
Yeah.
So when he asks you, what do you do for a living? Which everybody in America, anyway, that's what we ask people. What do you do for a living? Say that you're a lawyer, okay? So I'm a lawyer. The word because change just completely revolutionizes that answer. I'm a lawyer because it's so important to me that as part of my life, I help other people, and my clients end up being like family to me.
Mm.
The word because bridges you from the fact to the feeling, because as women, everything we do, we have feeling in it. We can't help it. That's why we're so crazy all the time. And that's what a man is looking for. He wants to know who you are as a woman, and who you are as a woman isn't that you're a lawyer or a chemical engineer or a teacher. It's what you love about what you do and why it feeds your soul. That's just an example of how to get that out. But that's when he's going to see you, who you really are.
Oh,
what do you think
gosh.
Of that?
I love that. In fact, I my NLP training right now, we talked about, like, talk about magic words. Because was number one on the list.
Oh,
you know,
really?
It evokes, yeah. Well, I think even
that's so
in,
funny.
Like,
I've
sales,
never taken that.
Yeah, but even in sales marketing, you know, they talk about that actually is one of the number one words because it evokes the emotion. And I want to piggyback on something you said in this section. And again, I'm going to share my experience here because my first two internet dates, you know, again, I'm a conversationalist, so one of the things I did was ask, you know, what do you do for a living, or tell me about what you do, you know, and some of the women went on for literally an hour without ever really inquiring what I do.
Yeah.
And if they did, They literally, and by the way, I think I have a cool profession, you know, and maybe I'm kidding myself, but I think what
Absolutely.
I do for a living is really cool, and like no interest whatsoever. Now, maybe they're intimidated by it. I don't know, but
That's
it
crazy.
Was so disappointing to have that. Those
yeah.
first two internet dates were like that, that now I really scream better in the telephone call because I don't know who said this, but someone said that the telephone call is the trailer before the movie, you know? And, you know, in other words, that's the precursor before the date, you know, the date being the movie, right? And so I know I kind of took us off on your number two thing there, but I wanted to add
that's
that
okay.
in there.
Yeah, I will say, though, with men, is a lot of men don't give good phone. So that's something I actually tell women sort of the opposite, that
yeah.
don't judge him just by the phone call because a lot of men do not like the phone.
Okay.
So, but that, again,
true.
We're kind
I
of getting
I happen to like phone.
Yeah. Well, you like to talk, which is great. That's how we want you. We want you guys to like to talk.
Yeah.
But, yeah, your point is really, really well made. And what happens is when you use the because, which is really funny. I've never taken NLP training. I thought I was so smart.
Yeah,
isn't it funny? There's no original ideas. The switch using the because takes the conversation to a different point. So if you're just telling them what you do, the conversation becomes about what you two do for a living, and it's technical, and it's not always positive, and it just goes off. And like, where is there to go with it? But when you start talking about how you love to help people, then what happens is you learn from the other person by their response. So when you share real things about yourself, you're not just helping him get to know you and get to know what's important to you, but his response informs you about what kind of man he is. So if you're talking about, you know, I love what I do because, you know, I help people and that's just really important to me, I want to make a difference in the world, and then you shut up, what he says next is really going to be important. If he shows interest in that, if he talks about how he helps people, if he just looks at you like, yeah, whatever, and, you know, then you know that's something that is important information, what comes back at you when you say it.
You know, someone once told me that, one of the reasons why I have what I call my 10-date rule, and that is I think we learn 80% of what we need to know from someone in the first 10 dates. In other words, how it's going to be the rest of your life kind of thing. I mean, a lot of those clues are right there. So if the person is empathetic, you know, and you share something like what you just said, I do this because I really love helping people, and that person just totally blows that off, you know, there's a good chance that person doesn't have empathy, you know.
And
you've got that clue, whether on the first or second or the third date, it was there, you just didn't pay attention.
That's right. And you don't have to interrogate to learn.
Because it's not like make that the deal breaker, but certainly be aware of it, right?
Well, yeah, and if it were me and that happened, I mean, when I use this, you know, it was a red flag. It was an almost dark red flag, which is a deal breaker to me because that something was really important to me. So, yeah, it's paying attention. So when you're on, when you do go on dates, you know, really you know, I talk about nuggets, which we don't have time to talk about, but, you know, I talk about creating nuggets, which are bite-sized pieces of information about you and what you do and what you love and what you care about and what your dreams are and what you accomplished and things about you that are important that the right man will really appreciate. And share, instead of interrogating him, instead of expecting him to perform and jump through hoops, show up. And this is how you get out of first date hell. Show up and share about yourself. And you're going to make deeper connections with the right men, and you're going to get really quick information and good information about the wrong men.
I love that. Show up and share. I don't have a pen in front of me right now, but I want to write that down. I'm going to remember that. Show up and share. Because I think that's hugely important.
Yeah,
so
and you just take responsibility to do it. No, I'll do this kind of quickly. The third one is be memorable. So it's kind of like you were talking about, Jonathan. Like if you don't stand out, if you don't show enthusiasm, if there's not something about you that he goes, wow, that's like really great. You want him to either ask you out at the end of the date or think about it driving home and call you the next day, right? So
yeah.
The third key is being memorable. And in order to do that, part of it is what we're talking about, getting the shiny stuff out, really letting him know about you. And don't be afraid if you're sharing something you think he may not like. If you're like a rabid, you know, whatever, Cowboys fan, and you love that, and that's what you do every Sunday, and that's what you want to do for the rest of your life, tell him that. Don't be afraid he won't like it, because if he doesn't, he's just not for you. So get your shiny stuff out. Share about yourself. And that right guy is going to be like, wow. He's going to be, you're going to help him select. And the other thing is, in terms of being memorable, is body language, which, again, is a really big topic. But, you know, if you're interested in a man, if you want to use some really safe body language, just touch him below the elbow on the arm. Just touch him below, touch him somewhere. You don't have to make it sexual. It's not about sex, but show some sort of sensuality and some sort of affection. So you can touch him on his arm when you're eating your hamburger. In fact, we're doing a grown-up girls' night out on this Thursday night.
Okay.
You know, how to be sensual without, how to use your feminine power and not be afraid of it. And these are the kind of things that you could do when you're eating your hamburger. Just like give him a little, this is so good.
I want to touch upon this one because this is so huge. And I actually witnessed this in action. First off, I love the third piece being memorable and certainly even physical touch, because I introduced a dear female friend of mine to a dear male friend of mine. I mean, was a former colleague of mine in the insurance business. And I introduced this girlfriend of mine who I met on the internet, coincidentally. We weren't a match, but I introduced her to my old boss. And we were at a restaurant, more like a lounge kind of place. And I was watching her talk to him. And she certainly, not only was she engaging, but she also was mesmerized. And while he was communicating, I saw her like literally gently touching, like right above his wrist in between his elbow, just like stroking him. And I remember just specifically watching it. And she did it in such a subtle way that I'm not even sure he was really aware of it. But I'm like, I'm just like outside looking in. And I mean, by the way, they've been in, by the way, this happened 5 years ago. They're still in relationship, you know? I mean, they ended up being in a relationship together. I'm not saying it's because she stroked his arm. But all I know is they had, it was just so, I was jealous. I got to, you know what? Actually, let me touch upon that. I was effing jealous. Like, I'd like to be on a date and a woman doing that. So speaking as a guy, that would totally be like a major plus, you know? And it's not sexual. It doesn't mean anything beyond just being, you know, a little, I don't know, flirtatious or whatnot. But I totally dug it, and I'm jealous, and I want that for myself.
Bobby, got that, lady.
I know you have to leave in a moment, and so I want to say first, and by the way, everyone, we're going to say, I'm going to be on the call a little bit longer, so just a little FYI. No one jumped in for a question. But I want to just
which
ask.
Which I'm sad about.
What's that? I know. Well, we had a short call
that's
for today.
Okay. It was
but,
short.
You know, I'm going to open up the phone lines and I'm going to rattle with everyone. We're going to have a little pajama party for the next few
cool.
minutes.
Cool.
So, right before you leave, is there anything you'd like to share? One last bit of nugget, anything? And your just everyone, I want you to know Bobby's URL is datelikeagrownup.com, datelikeagrownup.com. We're going to send out links and all kinds of stuff to get to see more stuff from Bobby. But you've got 2 minutes to share any last bit to the group.
Ooh, I'm so pressured. Well, first of all, I do want to really stress the idea that there's so much that you can do, and it's not about changing yourself. It's about some skills. It's learning some skills around not just dating, but making connections with men and understanding men. So I really encourage you to just give some of these a try. You know, just even though it's kind of scary to put yourself out there by saying, oh, I'm really looking forward to meeting you, or I had a great time, I'd love to do it again. Even the guy you talk to in the grocery store or in the line in Starbucks, if you just say to him, it was really nice talking to you, it'd be great. I hope we can do it again sometime. Wow. I mean, that's how you get dates when you're out and about. Put yourself out there. The worst that'll happen is he'll say no, or he won't ask you out, which is like no big deal in the whole scheme of life. You've had much worse things happen to you.
Yeah.
So start taking a little responsibility and have some fun with it. It's so fun. Men, see how Jonathan went, oh my God, I really love that. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get this incredibly powerful, positive response from these wonderful men.
Yeah, I so want to piggyback that for everyone on the call. Enthusiasm, being memorable, you know, show up, share, even touch. I mean, as a guy, I'm just going to say that's going to put me in, you know, in that position of going, yes, I want to see her again, you know. And I know we could go on for hours, so I'm going to let you slip.
I want you to stay,
but I know you have to go. Thank you so much for joining the call. We're going to stay on, everyone, so you don't have to leave yet. But, Bobby, thank you so much. I think you're fantastic. I definitely want to do a workshop with you, so let's make it happen, okay?
Absolutely. Back at you. Okay, bye, ladies. Thanks, Jonathan.
Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Okay, I know we've got someone in queue, so if anyone wants to ask a question, just hit star 6. I'm going to stay on the line a little bit longer, and we can have a little chat for the balance of the call. So we've got last 4 digits of the phone, 0560.
Yeah, you have Kathy. How you doing?
Hey, sweetheart.
Bobby was great.
Yeah, isn't she fantastic?
Yeah, I like her energy, too. She's so upbeat
you
all
know,
the time.
It's interesting because, you know, and I want to touch upon something about Bobby, is we both cater to the same, you know, community. And obviously I give the guy's perspective, but, you know, Bobby's a great coach too. She has a way of delivering the information that I think makes sense. So thank you for picking up on that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So is there any question you want to pass along to me or I can pass on to Bobby? Or maybe I can answer for her.
I think a lot of times where we get confused is all these dating rules that are out there. Do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And we get kind of hung up on, okay, I got to be this way.
You know,
instead of being relaxed, you know. So, go ahead.
I was thinking the same thing. You know, and even as a coach, you know, even Bobby and I differ on something. I think what we all want for our clients is to raise the level of consciousness. You know, so let's throw the rules out the window, okay? Just throw out all the rules. It's just being conscious. And not only conscious, because I think if we boil down to what I think is most important, and Bobby touched upon it, is A, be enthusiastic. You know, be enthusiastic about your dating life, because guess what? You know, we've only got so many hours or days left on this third rock from the sun. You know, might as well make them the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Be enthusiastic and certainly take personal responsibility. Just those two things alone, I think, could make a huge difference. You know, take responsibility. It's not about, you know, all guys are bad, this or that. Certainly, guys show up, you know, immature. I was one of those guys, so I get it. And part of the reason why I coach is just to point this out. But be enthusiastic and take responsibility. You know, that's our message for most of our clients.
Yeah, but I think it's important to show up as yourself, too, because then that'll help weed out some of the people.
Yeah.
So, because if they know where your morals are and everything. So my go ahead.
You know, I want to say one of, because something just dawned on me a second ago, and everyone, I want you to pick up on this. It's also knowing what you want. Not less than 3 hours ago, I got an email on Match.com from a woman, and attractive, everything about her profile was great, right? I said, but I noticed we differed in area of religion. So I kind of brought that to her attention. I go, we differ here, you know? And then she got a little argumentative with me. And then I said, no, well, this is what I meant, you know? And then she goes, oh, we're just not right for each other. And I'm like, holy cow. Well, and by the way, she emailed me, okay? So I just wanted you to know, she reached out to me and then picked a fight with me. And I'm like, and it just dawned on me, if she, and I'm talking, we had a 2 or 3 email exchange. I'm like, if she had a problem with, and I'm like the easiest going guy in the world. I was like, hey, I just don't think we're a match here. I just want to bring this to your attention and allow you to kind of go, oh, well, I meant it this way. Well, she got argumentative with me instead of taking ownership and saying, you know, you're right, but, you know, well, not, you know, like when I say, but you're right. However, you know, there's this, we could have, might've gone on a date. But she totally blew it and got argumentative. And guess what? I dodged a bullet. I dodged a bullet.
Yes. Next.
Do you see? I mean, I've been dodging bullets the last few conversations, and I got to tell you, I probably saved myself a couple hundred bucks. Because
that's awesome.
Because I'm a guy and I pay for dates and I kind of like to have a good time. And I'm like, fuck, excuse my French, I'm glad I dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
So
my whole, what's showing up for me lately is being open.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I am open. I share. And then I got slapped with, but you also have to be open for dependence too. And that's like bringing you back down into your feminine. Like she said, you talk about your job. Well, if you keep going on about your job, you're staying in the masculine part of that if you leave the because out of why you do it, right? Because I was looking at it that it was masculine in the front of that and feminine in the back of that. So you're making that bridge, right?
I want to touch upon this for a second. And I know, Tara, you're on the line, so just with me. And, you know, we're going to stay an extra few minutes past the hour. But, you know, the whole dynamic of masculine, feminine, I want to tell everyone, you know, I know this can be absolutely confusing. You know, the reality is people that fall in love, it's just natural. And Kathy, you nailed it. It's just being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a propensity of really talking a lot and you know this about yourself and maybe you know you're in your masculine, okay, that's a good time to check in. Be present and go, you know what? The best relationships are conversational, two-way street. So that just all that means is checking in. Because checking in with yourself and being present, if you know that about yourself. Now, and conversely, if you're just in your feminine all day long, guys aren't attracted to that either. I think balance is hugely important. You know, the only men that like feminine are control freak men that like to tell you what to do. And, you know, that's not going to work out either for most of us. So, but you nailed it. Just be yourself.
Mm-hmm. As long as you show up as yourself and they show up as themselves, that's half of it right there.
Absolutely. And guess what? You know what? The woman showed, the email that I'm talking about, she showed up just the way she is, you know. And guess what? I'm not right for her. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. In fact, good to find out early.
You know what? I get a lot of emails, and I'm like, look, I feel like writing them back and saying, look, it's not that, you know, it's I'm not right for you. It's not you're not right for me. I'm not right for you.
Do you ever get tempted to hand out your business card?
You know what? I got to tell you, the first words out of my mouth when I talk to a woman on the phone before I go, look, I want to share my profession, but here's the deal. I'm online looking for love, and I just want you to know this so there's no misunderstanding. By the way, I'm a dating relationship coach for women, and I'm trying to hustle you for business. I'm looking for love because I don't want to ever be perceived that either. So.
Right.
Hey, we've got Tara on the line, so I want to take her call, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, sweetheart. Big hug. It's clicking over. Hey, you.
Wow, hey. She's awesome. I really enjoyed, I love her nuggets, and she anticipated my question with when she made the comment about showing up as feminine, because you know me, and you know I'm used to being in the masculine and running the show, etc. and I have been more aware of when I do that. And I don't know quite what my question is other than more of how to do that, because recently I took some of your advice and some of the other bits about, I talked to a few people. I had eye contact with a few men in line at Rite Aid. I had this wonderful conversation with a guy I've seen around the neighborhood who didn't have a wedding band on, kind of told me where he lived, and we just chit-chatted. And when he left, he said, he said, it was really nice talking to you. And I said, it was really nice talking to you, too. And then I said, I hope I run into you again. And he did a double take two times out the door and smiled at me. And I thought, you know, if only for that, at least I know that I'm more open than I was, because he seemed like a really nice man and old, you know, closer to my age, maybe a little older, attractive, smart, you know, because the line was really long. And so we probably talked for 10 minutes. And so, but I guess for me, because it is one of my things, is maintaining control for a variety of reasons, is I know I am aware of my feminine, but I guess any other tips that you have, since you know me, showing up in my feminine, you know?
Well, so what does being in your feminine mean? Being in your feminine means being receptive, but you know, a relationship is a two-way street, okay? And,
right.
You know, when we talk about fast masculine feminine energy, you know, a lot of times we're talking about allow men the space to be the initiators,
mm-hmm.
but it's also being in that, because the minute you open your mouth, you're technically in your masculine if you want to, you know, be truthful, right? I mean, being in your feminine means just, doesn't mean just, you know, being, you know, dormant. You're going to be in your, if you're going to communicate, you're going to be in your masculine. So it's not getting hung up on the semantics here, okay? Because as I said before, you know, the right relationship, the right person, you're just going to click. It's going to be easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be effortless. If
right.
you know you have a propensity to over-talk, over-share, over-communicate,
yeah.
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
and be too detail-oriented, then let me give you a word of advice. Practice being present. Okay? Present just means just listening. You know? Be aware. Notice things. And how you can do that, if you need practice, go out, sit outside one day, and just start to observe, like, start saying to yourself, wow, I'm aware of that leaf, you know, floating.
Yeah.
Start using the word, I'm aware of that leaf floating. That will put you in a state of presence. Okay? I'm aware of that sound behind me, okay? Because what it sounds like for what you might need is to practice being present, okay? We're so in this space of reactivity, you know,
yeah.
let me react to what they're going to say. You know, there's this reaction instead of, you know, cohesiveness. I mean, I can share. I mean, I might stay on the line and share a recent horror story because it just blows me away. You know how people are literally approach the dating process with, in some cases, with almost, you know, no consciousness whatsoever. Almost in one particular case that just happened for me is she acted totally entitled. Like just because she breathes, I'm supposed to show up a certain way. And I'm supposed to be in the masculine and take charge and do all this. But I ain't going to do squat if there's no receptivity at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, Bobby nailed it. You know, be enthusiastic. Show appreciation. Just be in that space of excitement. That gets my juices going. And if I'm representative men, then that gets men's juices going. And I think that's sadly... You know, I think people are so wound up tight, and it's almost, I want to touch about what Kathy said. You know, it's like, just be yourself, relax, let go. I mean, you know, Bobby was touching upon it over and over again. Just, you know, just recognize that this probably isn't going to be the love of your life, and just go in expecting that. Maybe
yeah.
we need to go in not expecting that and then being happily surprised, because then you get to tell a story about that, and then that becomes your serendipity story, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good point. A lot of what happens with me is when I go into that other mode, be more present, then I put on my life coach hat, you know, and, you know, or being that, and I even get even more quiet. So because I'm both very internal and very external, and so sometimes then I notice that I just get stuck and start nodding and going, uh-huh, you know. You know. But I meditate, too, so, but I have
the
yet
practice
to
being
actually,
aware.
Yeah, I do meditate. So I will do, because I go on these walks. I think I told you about my gratitude walks where I notice the colors and the breeze and everything. And so I'm going to up those.
That's a great practice for everyone listening in. You know, a gratitude walk and just going in being present and aware. There's nothing like shifting to our core of who we are as if when we're out in nature,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I do my best to be out in nature once a day, you know, for
yeah.
even 15 minutes. You know, I think we live in a world where it's a concrete jungle and there's lights flashing and all this activity. And 15 minutes a day is all we need to ground ourselves. And if you don't have it, then make it a practice. Make it a practice to give yourself 15 minutes a day. Because if you don't, you know, that's how you're not going to have balance in your life. And it's hugely
right.
important to be in balance. Lastly, and I want to wrap up with this thought, sweetheart. So thanks so much for your question. I really appreciate it.
No, you're welcome.
You know, I want to encourage you all, you know, love doesn't happen by accident, okay? A relationship doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen like in the movies. It's not serendipitous, you know, it's not The Notebook. I'm sorry. We've been brainwashed in that. Now, you know, can it feel like it happens by accident or something like that? Sure. But it really happens with intention. And I know this might sound like the most, you know, Herculean thing you've ever heard, okay? But if I recommend everyone spend 15 to 20 minutes a day devoted to their love life, okay? Devoted to their love life. And that's for those of you single and looking, you know, it's put out the energy that you want to attract love into your life. You want to attract a relationship. Let me even say it a step further, because there's a big difference between love and a relationship. I devote 15 to 20 minutes every day to my desire of having, you know, a relationship, and that includes, you know, learning a lot about myself, spending time on Match.com, reading books. I put myself in a state. Now, if we can't spare 20 minutes out of our given day, okay, which accumulates to maybe an hour to a week, which isn't a lot of time, then don't be surprised if this is going to take you a lot longer for it to happen in your life, okay? And I'm being a little bratty here because I want all of you to fall in love. I really do. I want you to have love in your life, and I know the more you invest, it's like anything. The more deposits you make into your savings account, the more you'll have at the end when you want it, you know, when you need your savings. So it's the same with a relationship. Invest 15, 20 minutes, you know, no more than 30 minutes in a given day, whether it's online dating or something else. And lastly, practice the tips that Bobby shared. I mean, they are so fantastic. I couldn't say it any better myself. Being as a male, I'm going to say yes, 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 yes to everything she said, because that gets me excited about wanting to see someone a second or third time. So, without further ado, I'm going to wrap up our recording, and I'm going to open